Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today on Quick Slants the Podcast, Dane Brugler, one of the foremost draft experts in the United States, giving his insight on each and every Patriots pick. Which player is 75% of Ezekiel Elliott? Well, it probably ain't the punter. Enjoy. And we'll also take a whip around the American Football Conference's Eastern Division. All that with Dane Brugler from The Athletic on Quick Slants the Podcast. All right, guys, I actually like that intro. Voice stayed steady the whole way through. Dane Brugler is now at The Athletic. He's also been national NFL writer and covered the draft for a long time, both at NFL Draft Scout and CBS Sports. Look, we got a lot of great guys out there covering the draft, and I sent out a tweet earlier this week thanking the number of draft people, whether it's ESPN's Kuiper and McShay, whether it's our own NBC Sports' Josh Norris and Roto World, whether it's Dane Brugler, or on down the line, our own Phil Perry is fashioning himself into a draft expert practically himself. But thanks to all of them, one of the reasons I like Dane is he puts out a book, basically, the same way Joe Buschbaum used to do. And he is the forerunner of making the draft accessible to the common man. And then that was followed up by Nolan Nairaki, who I really enjoyed as well, thought was talented, and he stepped away from the business. So in many ways, I think that Brugler is the guy who follows in their footsteps. So as a result, I said, let's get Dane on this stuff. And here's our guy Dane right now. Dane Brugler, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm outstanding. What happens when the draft ends and the treadmill stops and you're just standing there looking at the sky and say, oh my God, what am I going to do now?
No, it is a weird feeling because you work so hard for this one event and then all of a sudden after 3 days, it's over. And, you know, you kind of assess the damage and see the aftermath. And I tell you, it is interesting because instead of, you know, months and months of trying to project where these are going and talking about potential fits, we get to actually talk about, you know, the players that these teams did select and how did the fits work out. So, you know, that carries us over. That's a little buffer period. And then you get started on 2020.
Do you self-scout at some point, or is it just, you know, just move on to the next one? You're not going to get some right, or you're not going to, I mean, you do so much, such volume that you're going to get some right and some wrong. Or do you self-scout any of your mock drafts and say, maybe I should have done X, Y, or Z?
Well, first of all, I think self-evaluation is the most important trait for an evaluator it's the only way you're going to grow. It's the only way you're going to evolve and get better. But to be honest with you, I don't think I got anything right or anything wrong on draft weekend because a player I liked went higher or lower, you know, that doesn't tell me anything. It just tells me how, you know, several teams in the NFL felt about that player. Now, I will, after, say, 3-4 years, go back to that draft and look and examine, okay, I had this player ranked high, he's played well or he has not played well. Okay, what are the reasons for that? Mm-hmm. And so I do go back and look because that is such an important part of what I do, you know, just help keep myself accountable, but just grow as an evaluator to get better and understand. You know, because the NFL, the game of football in general, it's an evolving league. It's an evolving sport. And so in order to keep up, you have to understand what the team and what teams and what the game is looking for. And so certainly self-evaluation is a big part of what I do.
Let's get into some of these players that you feel may or may not work out for the New England Patriots. Let's go right down the line. First up, Arizona State's N'Keal Harry. I liked it. I didn't see it coming because it's a zig for the Patriots in terms of skill set. What are your thoughts?
I really do like the fit because N'Keal Harry is one of those players who I think he's at his best when you use him across the formation. That's how Arizona State used him. He wasn't just an outside receiver. They put him in the slot. They moved him all over. And so that's what I thought he did best was defeat coverage, defeat the defense from different angles, from different spots on the field. And he's not a guy that's going to consistently separate on his own. And there's not a great track record of those guys in the NFL, but at the same time, he's comfortable with a defender on his back. You know, he's okay with that because he's so physical and he has that focus where he's not going to let a defender disrupt that concentration through the catch. So I do like N'Keal Harry. I think he went to a really good spot because I think the Patriots will use him across the formation, give him some snaps in the slot, inside, outside. And that's going to be a big part of what he does because he's so physical after the catch. Does a nice job just creating those yak plays.
And Bill Belichick has always said there's only really two things you have to worry about a receiver. There's only two jobs, get open and catch it.
Exactly.
So he doesn't necessarily get open, but crap, he catches everything, it seems.
Right. And that's a classic Bill Walsh receiver has two jobs, get open, catch the ball. It's something that I know with N'Keal Harry, he certainly does one of those very, very well. It's just, can he do enough to mask his lack of ability to do the other? And I don't think he's ever going to be a premier route runner. I don't think he has a short area burst to do that. And that's okay. He doesn't need to be. But I think the Patriots will do a nice job with, I mean, some of that can be manipulated and schemed.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking too. That's what you do with Gronk. I mean, yes, Gronk is a matchup nightmare, but he can run fast for a giant human, but he's not blowing people off the line. He's winning with catch radius.
Right, exactly. And so, yeah, Harry's going to be that guy. Use him across the formation, let him get physical. And I'm eager to see how that fit plays out. I think, you know, we'll find out pretty quickly. He's going to see the field as a rookie.
Jawan Williams, love it in the context of him filling a particular role and the forward thinking aspect of it. But a little gadgety. What are your thoughts?
You just rarely see a corner tower over receivers like that. But I mean, Jawan Williams, he's just a hair under 6'4", and you know, speed, long speed's a question mark because once he gets beat off the line, he's done. He's not going to catch up to the receiver and make a play. But he's so physical in press that there's a lot of times where he doesn't let that receiver get vertical. He's able to disrupt it with his jam, and he's able to control right there off the line of scrimmage. And so that's a big part of his game. And if he's going to win at the next level, it's all about winning at the line of scrimmage for him. Because I like the ball skills. I like the short area quickness. He's a very flexible, moves really easy, really loose for a player that size.
Yeah, I noticed that too. He's not robotic. More so than Browner even. I mean, Browner could be a little robotic.
Right. And so he's just really a rare dude, a corner that's just under 6'4", that moves the way he does. He doesn't have the makeup speed if he loses off the line of scrimmage. And so that is something that you have to worry about. But at that point in the draft, I thought he went pretty much exactly where, you know, you want to take that chance on a player like that.
Kajust seems like he could be one of those nice, smart, oh crap, we should have taken that guy, I can't believe he's still sitting there type of picks.
Kajust is interesting because I think there's a lot to like with his athleticism because he's a former basketball player. You see the foot quickness. I need, and maybe Coach Belichick be able to get this out of him, but I need to see grit. I need to see just that competitiveness. He needs to fix his technique. I mean, he lets rushers get into his body way too much. Needs to use that length to his advantage. And I think that's fixable. But what I'm worried about is just the durability. He's plenty of issues with his knees. And so, you know, that's a medical question. Leave that up to the doctors. But just from a coaching standpoint, can you get that dog out of him where you're going to see it in flashes. There are times where he certainly shows it, but not consistently on a consistent snap in, snap out basis. And so that's for me, for the Patriot coaches, what they're going to work on with Kajust is just getting that fiery, competitive grit and day in, day out, snap in, snap out. And then just can they fix his technique so he's not just relying on the athletic movements and the body control. He's using his hands, using that length to keep rushers at bay. And so that development mentally and technically will be a big part of whether or not he's a hit or it doesn't work out.
And if they can do that, he could be a hell of a hit. I'm guessing.
It sure can. It sure can. Yeah. And medicals as well.
Needs I'm guessing healthy. This is straight Dante. Have fun with him, Dante Scarnecchia, and just take him to the lab and figure it out the same way he kind of did with Trent Brown.
Sure. Right. And, you know, we're talking about a pick who, because he was just outside the top 100, I believe. So, I mean, you know, that's when you take chances on guys like that who, you know, especially at a position where, you know, all 32 teams could use more offensive line depth. Mm-hmm. And so you take a player like this who, you know, hopefully you don't have to throw him out there to the Wolves day one and you have a chance to develop him and, you know, mold him. And so, you know, at that point, late third round, outside the top 100 picks, I understand taking that chance.
I like the chance taken on Damian Harris because it's a chance that the Patriots took last year on Sony Michel, who had some health issues. So this guy is a surer bet in the third round. I feel like I'm in the minority up here in Boston in terms of looking at it as a smart play. A lot of folks are saying, well, hell, you just took Michel in the first round. Now you're using another running back pick on a third rounder. What are your thoughts on Damian Harris?
Well, love the player. You know, first and foremost, he's just a darn good football player. The best player comparison I have for him is I think he's a 75% version of Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he can do everything on the football field, block, catch. Obviously, he's reliable running the ball. So if you're getting a 75% version of Zeke, that's a pretty good value there in the third round. And a guy that can be on the field in any situation, you know, it doesn't matter down or distance. You don't know what he's going to do because he can do everything. And so that versatility is key. We roll out different personnel packages and the different things that the Patriots like to do. So from just a player standpoint, I love it. Now, understand that, you know, it's a little bit of a crowded running back depth chart right now. And so we'll see how that shakes out. But just strictly from a value and player perspective, I really love the fit there.
Nice. Good. Because now I feel better because everyone's looking at me like I'm out of my mind. Hit me on, if you could, Chase Winovich. I didn't know a hell of a lot. Again, we're interlopers. I put this out in a tweet yesterday. I put you on the tweet as well. We appreciate us guys who are on the beats and covering the league. We just come parachuting in and really, let's be honest, using so much of your expertise that you've built over the course of however many months prior. So we do appreciate that. But I wasn't really well apprised of just how good Chase Winovich could be. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he is talented. There's no question. I think that he falls short in a few areas. Just doesn't have ideal size. Doesn't have ideal length. Good athlete, not a great athlete. Not a naturally explosive athlete. I mean, the best thing about him might just be his tenacity. I mean, the guy never stops. He made more plays from the backside than maybe any other player I've ever evaluated. I mean, really, really impressive.
Really.
I mean, just because he never stops. I mean, he'll make plays down the field. He'll make plays from the backside. And because he's so active, he's able to detach from blockers, even though he doesn't have that ideal length. He's flexible. So there's a lot to like about him for various reasons. But certainly one of them is just the effort. And then one thing with him is just making sure that, you know, you're comfortable with the person. You know, you really like the player. Just make sure you're comfortable with the person. That was something that came up a few times, talking to some of his teammates and things like that. He went back for his senior year at Michigan saying, I want to beat Ohio State. I want to, you know, compete for the Big Ten. I want to be a senior captain. Well, none of those things happened. And, you know, you have to be comfortable with it. He rubs some people the wrong way.
Absolutely.
He's so raw. And, you know, he just wears people thin sometimes. So as long as you're comfortable with the person, and again, this is a third round. So we're not talking about a top, you know, 60 pick here. Certainly like the value that they got at that point.
It'll be interesting to see how, because it's such a mature locker room in New England. I mean,
right.
Dante Hightower will probably look at me. Are you shitting me? Just for a minute or two.
Right. Right.
Froholt, I don't want to keep you on for all these guys ad infinitum, but Yelda Froholt, just a quick summary on him. I think that might be one that's, to me, again, they can't all be home runs. I thought that might be a player that has a lot of work to do and might not have great upside, or what do you think?
I think you're absolutely right about needs work, but I really do like his upside. Okay. I think he's a player who has not played his best football yet. You know, I think most people have by now know a story growing up in Denmark and, you know, came over to the States as a foreign or exchange student in high school. And, you know, he goes to Arkansas and he got good coaching there, but, you know, I still think there's a lot more that he can do because he's a really fluid guy for his size, just under 6'5", 305 pounds, moves really fluid, quick feet, doesn't have great length. And so he really needs to work on his play strength and just a technical aspect. But, I got a chance to interview him a few times during the season, and this guy is locked in on football, loves it. And so he's going to work. There's no question about that. So I love the athleticism. I love that he has experience at guard and center. If I was looking for a developmental interior lineman on day three, that's exactly the type of guy I'd want to draft.
And Dane, what do you think of Auburn quarterback Jarrett Stidham?
Few quarterbacks. I mean, after you got past those first four, I thought, Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, Drew Lock, Daniel Jones. Okay, those guys are going to go in the first 50 picks. And then you had the two older guys, Will Greer, Brian Finley, who were more your backups. Maybe they can spot start for you. And then you had your developmental guys. And that's where I thought Jarrett Stidham was the top guy of that group. He was stuck in that Auburn offense where everything is so elementary. He wasn't able to grow and develop. I think he's really going to get a lot better outside of that system, once Kerryon Johnson moved on after last season, he didn't look the same. And again, part of it is just that offense, what they asked him to do. And it just really restricted his abilities. So I think that from a trait standpoint, he has the athleticism, he has the arm. He needs to quicken that trigger. It's great mm-hmm. that he has the mobility. It's great that he has, a big time arm. But if you don't have a quick trigger and you don't see things, then it's all moot. It doesn't matter. And so
smidge skittish. It looked like, just right. You can't take off all the time.
Yeah. Inconsistent reaction to pressure. That's
interesting.
The slow trigger and inconsistent reaction to pressure. If he can, it's not like those two things are easily fixable, but if he's able to show strides and improve in those two areas, then, we might be talking about, Patriots flipping this guy for a second round pick in a few years.
With Byron Cowart, I'm looking at a player who's got, that's a great dice roll. It really, mm-hmm. it could be a great dice roll on a kid who, had a not great collegiate experience after being a tremendous high school player.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it because, there aren't many 6'3", 300 pounders out there who have his type of ability. So, it's exactly that. You're at that point, you're in the final few rounds. A guy that showed a little bit of life after he got to Maryland this past year. They used him as, kind of a head up over the offensive tackle and what they mm-hmm. asked him to do. And so he did a nice job. He's a little bit of a tweener, inside-outside guy, but I think that fits well with what the Patriots do, like they do on the defensive front. He has the body type. He has the point of attack strength. I think football doesn't really come naturally to him.
Does he have good smarts? And I know that defensive line is not, you don't have to be a complete Mensa right. candidate, but does he have selflessness and good smarts in terms of, okay, this is going to be a little bit more sophisticated and I do have to have a lot of different responsibilities because I might be a zero, I could be a three, I could be a five, whatever.
That's why we're talking about a fifth rounder. And okay. He wasn't a third rounder, because I think that is a question mark. Does he have the football IQ where he can quickly diagnose, recognize his keys and understand that, okay, I need to be in this spot or, protect this gap. And that's something that it doesn't come naturally to him. At least it didn't appear so on tape. And so that's one of the questions and why he was more of a fifth rounder and not, one of the third round high upside guys. Cause I think he does have some upside because he has the ability. It's just, can you coach him up enough where, you give him a short list of responsibilities and, don't put too much on his plate and then hopefully he can grow from there.
Jake Bailey, punter, big leg, righty. What are your thoughts on him?
He's a punter. That's about okay, fair enough. All I got for you. I mean, that's honestly, when it comes to the kickers and punters, I let someone smarter than me try to break those guys down.
What are your thoughts on the seventh round corner that they took?
Kendarius Webster. Yeah, he's not a well-known guy, put it that way. He's not a household name. But he's the guy that tested well. He's in the low 4.4s. So that at that point in the seventh round, you're drafting traits. He had a bad injury his 2016 season, and that kind of it seemed like derailed him. He was an up and coming player, a guy to keep your eye on. And then 2016 had a bad injury, and so the last 2 years he's kind of been a part time player, working his way back. But again, I think you love the traits, the athleticism, and that's really what you're banking on here. 5'11", 205, running low 4.4s, outstanding jumps. And so we're really betting on the athleticism, hoping you can mold it into something.
Good deal. You want to give me one line each on the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets?
Sure.
Bills, I thought, did great.
Yeah, no, the Bills, they definitely probably top five, one of my top five in the entire league. I mean, they – not only did they get good players, but they didn't have to reach for them. You know, they didn't have to give up assets to trade up to get an Ed Oliver. They didn't have to trade up to get a Cody Ford. They stayed put, got really good value with those players. I think, you know, even in the third round with Devin Singletary, Dawson Knox, Boshon Joseph in the fifth round, tremendous value at that point. I thought he has a talent to be a top 100 player. So Buffalo, certainly, I thought they did well. Miami was kind of the complete opposite. I thought they got a good player in the first round, no question. Christian Wilkins.
Yep.
He doesn't have a huge ceiling in the NFL, but you know exactly what you're getting. Great intangible guy. He's going to be great in the locker room. So you feel comfortable that he's, maybe not a home run, but you know, he is a solid double and you got a man in scoring position. So
good. You
feel good about Christian Wilkins, but the rest of the draft, it's hard to be blown away. Michael Dieter's a solid offensive lineman. And then I really wasn't a big fan of what they did on day three. So Miami was,
flip in the Rosen thing, do you say, okay, well, they got better at least over the weekend.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. If you factor in Rosen, then all of a sudden Miami shoots to, closer to the top. Cause it's a low risk thing. If he doesn't work out this year, if you don't feel like he's a fit and you have a high draft pick, well, then you're in position to draft Herbert or Tua and, you can move on. But so giving up a late second, that seemed like an easy decision for Miami.
And with the Jets, and I'm going to get you off because you got to go see the boys. Are they both boys? I'm presuming for some
boy
reason.
Boy and a girl.
Okay. You got to go see the kids. Sometimes Bill Belichick has talked here about defensively, you want to be just like a baseball team, which is strong up the middle. Defensively, now the Jets have Quinnen Williams and Leonard Williams. They got C.J. Mosley at the linebacker level, and they have Jamal Adams.
They drafted Polite, the edge rusher. Adoga, the tackle.
But they've still got, with Williams, they've got an outstanding front seven player.
I mean, and at third overall, I mean, that's a home run. I know they wanted to get out of that pick so bad. But, if you have a chance to stay put and you don't get a deal that blows you away, well, then you hit a home run with Quinnen Williams, who arguably the best player in the draft. I think you feel really comfortable with the player that you're getting. But the Jets were interesting because Quinnen Williams was the safe pick. And then after that, they kind of went for broke. They're going with high upside, but, boom or bust type of players. Ja'Chai Polite in the third round and Chuma Adoga, Ja'Chai Polite has tremendous tape, top 15 tape, but it's hard to trust him because maturity and his ability to be a professional. Those things have been questioned over and over and over. And with good reason, he's given the team's reason to question that. And then Chuma Adoga, a player who his football character has been dinged throughout his career. His coaches have spoken to that. But Chuma Adoga had a good week at the Senior Bowl. You see the ability. You see the talent. And so if both those guys can hit, they're going to be absolute steals for the Jets. And then Trevon Wesco in the fourth round, I love that pick. He's, no one's Gronk, but he's in that mold where he is just a big physical bruiser. And he was not really used as a passing target in West Virginia's offense. That's just not the tight end wasn't heavily utilized in that version of the air raid offense. But when he was targeted, he finished catches. He did a nice job after the catch. So I think Wesco, wouldn't be surprised if we talk about him being a steal when it's all said and done with him being a fourth round pick.
Dane Brugel, that's 25 minutes since I dialed your number and you've been on with me for this length of time. You've been generous with your time. For Phil Perry on the Next Pats podcast and here with me on the Quick Slants podcast, can't thank you enough. Please get some rest.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's always fun talking about these guys, so thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Dane. Take care.
You too, Tom.
All right, see, like Dane said, he's got two kids. He's squeezing me in. He's down there in Easy Meadow, Texas, or something like that, just probably stepping on Legos with bare feet and screaming. So I wanted to get out of his hair, but great rundown by him. We appreciated his time. Hope you appreciated his time and got a lot out of it, because I think it was pretty interesting to hear his take from outside the region on the players that the Patriots brought in. Please do me a solid, will you? Make sure that you download, review, and subscribe to the Next Pats podcast. That's what Phil works on. And also Quick Slants. Love those 5-star reviews. Anytime you do those, gives us a chance to get a little bit more highly promoted on some of your favorite podcasting apps. And then we build up a tremendous amount of momentum, and we continue our worldwide takeover. See you next week.